of that diversity versus the efficiency of corridors, for example, with regard to reliability. I mean, I think that's, we oftentimes think, well, why don't we have big, wide corridors with multiple transmission lines in them and have minimal, even more minimal adverse impact on landowners especially? Mm-hmm. Could you just describe that a little bit for us? What goes into that?
Other than route separation, so that we avoid common weather events affecting the same facility, the standards that we design by would require that we consider and design for common outage of all elements within a certain corridor. So if you run six lines immediately adjacent, you have to study the outage of all those six lines at once and be able to withstand that event. So those are in the transmission planning standards that are put forward by NERC and FERC. A double circuit project, such as you mentioned, Fargo to St. Cloud will be, has a special place in the standards and has to be evaluated as an outage of a common tower to both circuits, and you have to be prepared for that. So, not sure if I answered your question.
You answered it perfectly. I just think it's important for us to understand why we see so many lines going somewhat the same direction, but not very close together. Mm-hmm. To really simplify it. My only other question then is if you could just elaborate a little bit on the margin issue. You've talked about margins. You've talked about MISO as the reliability standard setter and monitor. What is the requirement, and what are the current margins, both from NCODA and perhaps a little more generally in the Midwest, and why they're important to reliability?
Generally, we think of, with margin, I would think about load-serving reliability because we do not have the option not to serve the load. In terms of export capability, we do have the option not to export. So we have a 2,000 megawatt limit approximately on North Dakota exports, that is, flows outside of that index region as I briefly described. We have only rarely hit that limit to date. However, we have about 1,400 megawatts of wind generation online in the state at this time. The wind generation does not follow the load curve. It generates when the wind is blowing, which may or may not be when we have high load. That has driven us predominantly. Previously, our exports were driven by commerce interests. When it's commercially viable for the North Dakota entities to be selling into the pool. Now, North Dakota export is increasingly driven by the wind patterns, which have no relation to the commerce. So we are seeing the North Dakota export limit approaching, the actual flows approaching the limit more often now with 1,400 megawatts of wind online and several times that in the design stage or in the proposal stage. So I don't know how far that goes to address your question of margin on North Dakota export. As far as margin on what matters more directly to us as a load serving entity, which is the way we're registered with NERC, is our commitment to serve our loads. And those are the things that we've attempted to speak most directly about here today. And that is the limit that I said we are presently on deck to hit in about 2013 to 2015.
Is there a standard, a fundamental or a basic standard that you consider in terms of margins specifically?
I'm not aware of one. The standards for me in the study world are what types of events on the system we have to be prepared for and still be able to operate the system within the flow and voltage constraints that exist.
Very good. I have nothing further. Thank you.
Commissioner Kalk.
Thank you, Your Honor. Thanks for your testimony, Tim. You must be an electrical engineer, too.
That I am.
When you and Jerry were talking, I was getting nervous because when two electrical engineers talk, I don't know if I can follow all of it. But I do have a kind of walk me through this. When you talk about constrained region, are you talking about just the customers you serve? And the reason I'm asking is because MISO, the MISO world, I mean, it's all power sharing between you and Xcel and everyone else. So when you say constrained, are you talking about anybody that uses power in this region or just those that you serve?
Getting back to the exhibit, the green area is the geographic extent of the parties we serve.
Okay.
The blue circle is the region of benefit, and we use the circle because then it becomes obvious that there's some estimating on exactly precisely where these boundaries fall. But the blue circle approximates the region of load that will benefit from the project. As you can see, they're not entirely one and the same.
I guess what I'm trying to get to, though, is when you say you're constrained, that I get that that's your customers, but in the MISO world, MISO also serves Xcel. So does this mean that since you participate with MISO, that Xcel customers are also in a constrained world?
Yes, and that's what I meant by the blue circle. The blue circle is the constraint.
No matter who is served.
The definition of the constraint.
No matter who serves in that area.
That's correct. It's strictly, forget who's serving the load. Let's just look at the load within that circle, and that is the load that's at risk.
Okay, so then the follow-up, and this is not so much for this hearing, but just general knowledge, that if this is such a constrained world, why wouldn't other companies also be trying to build some power lines to serve their customers? I'm glad that you folks stepped forward, but the cost-sharing mechanism, how does that all, because if you're going to solve their benefit or their challenges, how do you get something from them out of this?
Well, as I mentioned, there are two other projects in the region.
Right.
The CapEx 2020 group has, from their view from the Minnesota side perhaps, but all of those companies that are involved in CapEx 2020, I'm not sure exactly which all states they serve load in, but they do serve load in the Fargo area and the Grand Forks area. And those parties have worked jointly with us on studies. I was the tech lead, actually, for the Bemidji-Grand Rapids line.
Sure, so that's all part of the MISO part of this, too, right?
MISO is involved in various ways. For Minn Kota, MISO is our reliability coordinator, but we are not a MISO member. So
okay.
We do not participate in the MISO world in the same way. We conduct our own planning process for transmission. MISO is the transmission planner for the other parties, especially those parties in the CapEx 2020 group. So we worked directly with MISO as a neighbor, in a sense, them representing all of the other utilities. Obviously, they're much larger than we are, but there is a sense in which we are operating on an equal playing field as far as our registration with NERC as a transmission planning and load serving entity.
Okay. I guess I just have one last question, and I believe you said it, but I want to make sure I understand it. So what I heard you talk about was that if, basically in a nutshell, if we don't build this line, the chances of rolling blackouts is increased highly.
Yes.
That's all I have. Thank you.
Follow up, Ms. Smith.
No, Your Honor.
Mr. Sagsveen.
No, Your Honor.
Mr. Lean.
No, Your Honor.
All right. Let's take a recess for 10 minutes. Let's resume at 11:40. 10 minutes. Stretch your legs.